maybe figure out what is missing in our marriage now that used to be there and see if we can rekindle some of the joy of the relationship. Because if all your marriage is spent, the time you're together, dealing with the yucky stuff, the stuff that isn't working, the painful stuff, I mean, who's going to be able to maintain energy for that?
You eat terrible. You got no manners.
You seem a little agitated. You want to go outside and get some air?
Taking your shoes off all the time, that's another thing, and picking your teeth. You're just not cool.
Leave me alone.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. APU alumni are living and serving in all 50 states and more than 80 countries around the world, literally transforming the world for Christ one life at a time. And our favorite APU alum, of course, is Dr. Jim Burns, who's now a professor in the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of APU, part of the MA in Youth Ministry Program and also the Youth Sphere Program, which is a great certificate training program for youth pastors. If you want to learn more about that, go to homeward.com if you're not there already. If you're online with us already, just hit the APU button and you can learn more about it. Part two of a two-part conversation today with Dr. Robert Paul. Let's get into it now. Rescuing your marriage relationship here on Homeward. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, just smiling, enjoying a great conversation with Bob Paul. You're about to meet him, Dr. Robert Paul. He is the co-president of the National Institute of Marriage. It's a great program. We're going to have a link on our website today to the National Institute of Marriage. Today, we're going to talk a continuing conversation, actually, about rescuing your marriage relationship. You know, recovery and reconciliation is possible for marriages in crisis. And today, frankly, there's a lot of marriages in crisis. Either your marriage has been in crisis, maybe you've had a crisis marriage, and maybe you're even a single person who's now, you know, looking to get married again. And we're going to talk about how you can actually recover and be reconciled. And you know what? Even if you have a tough relationship right now and things aren't going well, I want to tell you that there is hope and there is healing. And I can't think of a better person to be on our program today than Dr. Robert Paul, seasoned therapist, author, nationally known speaker, actually was the collaborative author of the best selling DNA of Relationships. He has also written a great book called Finding Ever After, and he's a frequent guest on many radio and television broadcasts. He and his wife, Jenny, have four children. They live in Branson, Missouri. Welcome back to our program, Bob. Always fun to be with you.
Thanks. Love being here, Jim.
I mean, even here before the broadcast, we're, you know, kind of cutting up and having a good time. You know, we're talking today about crisis in a marriage, and so many marriages are in crisis. And I find that even ones that look on the surface of looking like they're okay, they're not always as good when they kind of open up to me or open up to folks like you, I'm sure. Now, in crisis, there's always anger, it seems like. We talked about that in a previous conversation. Would you say that arguing and conflict is better than absolute indifference, or do you see it as kind of the same?
I don't think I see it as the same. They both have their own way of devastating a relationship. It probably has more to do with temperament. I know I'm more inclined to feel more comfortable if we're arguing than if there's apathy. Hmm. And I tried to convince my wife that that was a better deal. And actually, it was hurtful to her because there's nothing about arguing that works for her.
Right.
It feels very damaging, and it is. The only thing I would say is that if people are still arguing, there's still a real passion that's there, and that can be important. But boy, people can do some serious damage. Indifference is tough because people just start shutting down and giving up and stopping to care. Mm. And when caring leaves the relationship and it goes into a place of feeling more like death. It can be hard to recover. Now, I see both of them being redeemable, retrievable. Mm-hmm. If they're arguing, people need to recognize the importance of making it safe and caring for each other and being tender with each other's hearts. If there's that indifference and they've shut down and just tuned out, then it's more a matter of going to the Lord and saying, hey, help me reconnect with my heart, mm-hmm. with my care. And matter of fact, asking maybe the Lord to let them feel his heart and his love for their spouse. So both can get there. It's a different kind of deal. There's different dangers attached to each.
Now, a lot of times I think people have that as their prayer, but they're so busy. You know, life is so busy today. It's this breathless pace. We're living our lives. And you know, they go to a counseling appointment, but then they both get in their cars and they go a separate direction back, and they hardly even then talk about it because they're so busy. When people are in crisis, are you suggesting that they have to spend more time dealing with their issues than typically they would?
I think that spending, first of all, more time recognizing what's going on inside of them is probably a good place to start. Oftentimes when people are having a difficult time in their marriage, they probably spend more time thinking about how their spouse is the cause than they do looking at really what is going on inside of me and having the focus there. Then I would want to encourage them, once they get that focus and where their relationship is at with God, I would want to encourage them to, yes, make time to be together, maybe discuss their issues, maybe figure out what is missing in our marriage now that used to be there, and see if we can rekindle some of the joy of the relationship. Because if all your marriage is spent, the time you're together, dealing with the yucky stuff, the stuff that isn't working, the painful stuff, I mean, who's going to be able to maintain energy for that?
Right. No, and I think that's tough, because a lot of times marriages turn into something like that when they're not having some of those times of fun. And even saying, what I hear you saying, it's even okay to kind of put off some of the tension issues and say, hey, let's go play a rousing game of tennis, or, you know, let's go out on a nice date and not talk about that right now. But let's, not that we put it off and repress it, but that, you know, we find another time, but have some time where you can have some fun together. It's a major part of a good relationship.
Yeah, my good friend, Gary Smalley, who I co-wrote the DNA of Relationships with, has a deal with his wife, Norma, that I've always thought was awesome. Recognizing the importance of having good time built into your relationship so you have good feelings to draw on or stand on when the tough times come. Yeah. They have this deal where they take time and they earmark it as fun time, and they've got very strict rules around fun time. Basically, they say if issues do come up, which is frequent when you're out together, that we don't deal with it now because this is fun time. We need to protect this. Right. We can write it down. We protect it. We'll get back to it later. But we get back to it later. Right now, this is critically important. We want to make sure we protect this. And I think that's a great idea. Yeah. I love that.
No, that's intentionality. I mean, Kathy and I have three meetings. One meeting is a date, where we really try not to deal with the business of living life. Another meeting is what we call the business meeting, which is trying to raise three girls and pay for insurance and talk about their school issues and, you know, clothes needs and when are we going on vacation, things like that. But that's the business. We always put stuff off. We don't do that well at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So we have a meeting. We sit at Starbucks and we kind of walk through it. It's never necessarily a super fun meeting, but that's the business side. And then we have a spiritual time. I mean, we try to pray most days together, but we always have a time each week where we, you know, spend some, you know, extended time praying together. Lately, we've been doing it on our knees. It's actually been a really, you know, neat thing for us to get on our knees and humble ourselves before the Lord and say, here you are, Lord. We love you. We worship you, and spend some time doing that as well as making prayer requests. But I think what you're saying is that a lot of times we really do have to separate some of the issues so that we can kind of get past some of the problems, or actually take the problems on when we're really more focused.
Yeah, you know, it's like anything that you want to create that would be an important or valuable experience. I just, for some reason, the thought of having Jenny and I decide we want to make a nice meal together.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be time where there's going to be some planning involved. And then there'll be time where we need to go make sure that we go to the grocery store to get the necessary ingredients. And then there'll be time where we spend actually putting it together and creating the meal. And then there would be time where we would be cleaning up. And, I guess then there's the time in there, I should mention, where we would enjoy the meal.
Right.
And then there'd
right.
be the time when we go right. and we clean up. And every right. single one of those parts are important to the whole experience. And if you neglect any one
that's
of
really
them,
good.
You can't get there.
No, that's good. And that's a great illustration for a marriage. And it just says that, you know, when I try to do that kind of a meal and I put the frozen pizza in, it probably isn't the best way to do it. But I do clean up because I take that box and I put it right in the trash.
That's very good.
But really, it takes the time to do those kind of things together and, you know, separate them a bit. You know, Dr. John Gottman says that he has four signs that often signal that a marriage is starting to die. And I want to read those signs and I want you to respond to Gottman's input. You see your marital problems as severe. Talking things over seems useless, so you try to solve your problems on your own. You start leading parallel lives, and then loneliness sets in. What Gottman is saying, who's a marriage authority, is saying basically that a marriage is dying if you're in those categories, or if you're doing some of those categories. Would you agree with Gottman?
Those all sound really great, and I know his research is fantastic, and he's as diligent and faithful to good science as you can get. So, yeah, I take that stuff very seriously. I think the main point he's making there is that you want to be looking for those things that we would earmark as telltale signs that things are going bad, and address it as opposed, you know, like if you've got a car that's starting to make a sound or something's going weird. I mean, you can keep driving it till it stops, but there's a point at which you got to say, "Hey, I got a problem. I need to go to the shop and get this thing attended to." And then also regular maintenance kind of stuff. I mean, all of that applies directly to a marriage. And he's pointing out some of the signs where you got a major problem. You need to go, you know, get some help at the mechanics.
Well, that's true. And you know, you have a number of things, and I suggest to people that they go to the website at the National Institute of Marriage. We have a link on our website today how you can get over there. Bob is the co-president of the National Institute of Marriage. I love this program. He's also the director of the primary innovator and creator of their what I would call highly acclaimed intensive programs, where you kind of come in for some intensity if you have a marriage in crisis, and this may be an answer for you. But you also have some pretty amazing resources. A book called Yes, Your Marriage Can Be Saved, a workbook called Marriage 911. It's a first response type of a workbook for anything from support partners to all kinds of stuff. And I want you to talk a little bit about this particular resource that might be able to kind of be the first resource that some people could get some help if they're going through a problem in their marriage.
Well, one of the exciting things that we have been working with in partnership with Joe and Michelle Williams, who come from Modesto, California, and have been working in this field for like 18 years now, is that so often when people go to the church for help and when they get in crisis, they will look to the church for help. A lot of times they've got a spouse that isn't very cooperative, that maybe is checked out or just doesn't believe that it can work, and they'll go to the church for help. The church typically doesn't know what to do with one person in a crisis marriage. So what's exciting about this resource, Marriage 911 First Response, and the book also addresses this, Yes, Your Marriage Can Be Saved, is that it's something that can be developed and used with one person of a marriage that's struggling. And it's great because what we do with this is we help people to see that the first focus that you want to have at that point is not on your spouse, maybe not even on your marriage at that point. It's starting off with your relationship with yourself, your relationship with the Lord, so that you can get healthy. It's very hard to make good decisions. It's very hard to have a meaningful, powerful impact into a troubled marriage if you yourself are struggling. And, you know, all of us are going to be struggling when our marriage spins out. So instead of saying, hey, first thing we do is try and fix the problem of the marriage, let's get you in a good place. And that's what this resource is about. And it gives the church a lay response to a person that is struggling, where it doesn't have to put extra burden on the pastor and the pastoral staff or on the counselors, but helps us have opportunity to help a person help themselves.
Great stuff. Bob Paul with us. We'll be right back. We're going to talk more about rescuing your marriage relationship. We'll be back. More to come. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
And it's good to have you along on this program. We realize there are a lot of married couples who might be looking at this day with some measure of disdain, regret, tension, apprehension. We hope that the program is giving you the materials that you need to say, wait a minute, we can make this thing better. If you want to learn more about Bob's organization, the National Institute of Marriage, and the resources he was just describing, check us out online at homeward.com if you're not there already. HOMEWORD.com. Go to the radio broadcast section. You'll see his name. It's hotkeyed. Click there. It goes right to his website. And now, with the conclusion of today's program, here once again is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Dr. Robert Paul with us, Rescuing Your Marriage Relationship. Seasoned therapist, author, nationally known speaker. He's also the author of Finding Ever After. It's a great marriage book, and it also gives a lot of hope. Actually, his life and his relationship with Jenny, his wife, who's also in studio today, is a great story of a story of a man and a woman who weren't doing as well in their marriage. And they said, you know what? We're going to make some differences. We're going to intentionally choose to make our relationship something very special, and that's exactly what has happened. Today, Bob Paul is the co-president of the National Institute of Marriage, and he's also the director of a great intensive program, and we've got a link on our website today to that. We've been talking about a book, Yes, Your Marriage Can Be Saved, 12 Truths to Rescuing Your Relationship. It's actually written by Joe and Michelle Williams, and I highly recommend it. You can get more information about that when you call Homeward or also when you go to our website. There's also a link to the website at the National Institute of Marriage. Bob, as we were talking right before the break, and you were talking about this program, Marriage 911, First Response, and some of the rest, you said, in many ways, you have to get well yourself before you sometimes even bring your marriage problems to the front. A lot of people want to go to a marriage counselor, get the marriage fixed, and then they say, well, that's going to help me personally. But what you're saying is sometimes we have to take care of our own needs, our own self, before we actually move on to trying to take care of the marriage.
Yeah, I think that more often than not, that's my preference, that people would look that way. I think that one of the things that is a real setup for struggle for so many of us is that we think at the point that we get married that you now put yourselves as individuals aside and now it's all about the marriage. But the reality is marriage is just two people in a life union, a committed life union, trying to open their hearts and share love and intimacy with one another. And if those two people aren't moving toward health and wholeness, I don't know how that's supposed to create a healthy whole marriage.
That's a great comment.
So it's so important. And honestly, spiritually, if you look at what the Lord has said, He came. Jesus said very clearly, I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to be filled with Him. He wants us to be whole. He wants to set us free. And it's critical that the individuals and their well-being does not get lost in an attempt to make a great marriage.
Yeah, it's a great comment. What I was wanting to call on, you're obviously our marriage therapist of the day here. What happens when one person is relatively healthy and another person is not as healthy? What do you suggest to a married couple when they both maybe even come in and talk to you and you see one person kind of moving along, doing okay, and another person is absolutely blocked or you know they're really struggling with some issues that are kind of big issues?
I think that the individual who is more healthy needs to make sure that they protect that. And, you know, if you're in a relationship like that with somebody who's struggling, I mean, to a degree, it's still that individual who's struggling, their responsibility to get healthy. For the other individual, it's more of a case of, you know, you pray, you care, you do what you need to do to stay in a healthy place, but you got to kind of let them walk that thing out. And, you know, God gives us a lifetime plus to sort that stuff through. So I think that we're called. I mean, if you even look at 1 Corinthians 7, there's a way in which we're called to be there, to be an example to the best we can, to love with our whole heart, to pray with everything in us, and to give that person space to walk that out with the Lord and find their way there. You learn not to enable, not to encourage them in anything that would be hurtful or destructive in any way, but just stay true to faith and hope.
Yeah, no, great input. What do you say to the couple who says, you know what, we used to have a great physical relationship, and today it's struggling, it's suffering. We'd like to have it, but frankly, there's a lot of things that kind of work out, and the man all of a sudden looks up and says, you know, I'm kind of angry at her a lot of times. She nags me a lot, or she's critical, or whatever, and she doesn't see the connect between the nagging, the critical, and, you know, the physical intimacy side. And so in most ways, you know, they're just angry at each other. What do you say to that person?
It's really about teaching them and talking to them about what kind of relationship they have and how much do they enjoy the relationship. How much are they enjoying each other? How much are they allowing themselves to stay fascinated and engaged with each other, learning and growing together, encouraging each other? Because it's in that that the light stays lit in their relationship.
Right. Right.
And the passion stays at a high level, and there's an excitement and a desire to keep pressing in and pressing forward, just two people together. And then in those situations, when the excitement of life is there and they're able to enjoy that together, the journeying together, the sexual part seems to be easier for people.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Well, you know, we kind of work around it because when you talk about marriage crisis, sometimes the A word comes into it, affair. Mm. You know, when you start looking at the statistics in America, the amount of marriages that are in trouble or were in trouble because of an affair is huge. You know, speak to the woman or to the man who perhaps their spouse had an affair. They're still trying to hold on to the marriage, but it's not working well. There's a lot of things that aren't going well in it. I'm sure that you get this all the time in your intensives, in your counseling as well. You know, there was an affair. So how do you help a person who's gone through, you know, the trauma of and really the tragedy of an affair?
Well, first of all, the person who didn't have the affair will always be dealing with some level of feelings of betrayal. And it's such a painful place for people to go. They oftentimes have no idea how to cope with all the feelings that are occurring. One of the more radical things that I've learned that I share with people when infidelity comes out is that rarely does infidelity do affairs have anything to do with sex. Very rarely. Generally, there are deeper emotional needs that are not being attended to, and they become sexualized. And people look to sex, even in their marriage, as a way to address something that sex really isn't capable of addressing. So I want to talk to people about identifying what else is going on. But I think for the person who feels as if they've been betrayed, to recognize this isn't about sex, because so often I see that person trying to figure out how to be more or be better or find a way to get the person to be more attracted to them as if that is the issue, and it's not. Usually it's about feelings of inadequacy or feelings of being not desired, being lonely, feeling afraid of being disconnected, feeling powerless or helpless, all sorts of things like that. And when you look into the deeper places, you find those things, and those are the ones you want to address.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, in many ways, we're talking, in teasing in some ways, but that you're a therapist for the day. But a lot of people, if they go through that, I strongly suggest that they get the help that they need. I quoted the scripture in the last program, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I think a lot of times, that's where they can go. And you can't do that on your own sometimes, because you just simply don't know, and yet people like yourself are trained in that. Now, I want you to take, we don't have much time left, but I want you to take the few remaining moments. Help us understand, if a couple came to an intensive at the National Institute of Marriage, whether it be in Branson or whether it be out here in California or whether it be in Georgia, what are they going to experience in a time like that? Maybe their marriage is in crisis and they say, boy, we need help. We need something that really can jumpstart this relationship.
Well, we have two different programs that people can get involved in. One is our two-day program, where we just work with one couple with two counselors. The other, which is our more common program, where we work with five couples at a time with two therapists over a four-day period. And I think the most important thing is that they will experience someone or someone, since we always work in teams, that can hear what their struggle is, hear what their heart's desire is, see where they've lost hope, help them identify what would give them a sense of hope, and they will experience people who are able to come alongside and walk with them through a couple of day journey there to find their way to a renewed vision of possibilities. Because so often people are so discouraged and they see no way that this could work out. But we want them to recognize that miracles can happen, and they can be relatively commonplace, as a matter of fact. So they'll experience that, and they'll start sensing even the obstacles that they have so often inadvertently placed between themselves and their spouse, between themselves and the Lord. When they see those obstacles and we can move those aside, we give the Lord an opportunity to move into their heart, move into the relationship, they start realizing, you know, this could work. We could make this go, and we could do it in such a way where I walk away feeling, yeah, I could enjoy this relationship. I could be happy with this.
Great, great stuff. And that is our hope, and it can be done even if your marriage is in crisis. I highly encourage you to not give up, but to seek reconciliation. Don't do it on your own. Get the help of somebody. Maybe you want to take a look at the National Institute of Marriage as well. Also, the resources that Roger's going to talk about right now.
Well, the resources are books that Dr. Jim Burns has written, Creating an Intimate Marriage and Closer. They have a curriculum that goes along with it, so it's good for couples who just want to work through this, or also groups who are in studies, Bible studies, small groups, things like that. For more information, you can buy those materials anywhere, but if you order them through homeward.com, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we truly appreciate your faithful financial support. Also, earlier in the program, Bob Paul mentioned resources through the National Institute of Marriage, and pastors in particular, knowing this from pastoral ministry, it's really tough when a couple comes in and says, we're in crisis, we need counseling. We recommend Bob's stuff, and you can learn more about it when you visit our website as well. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.